T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
Dan Wiederer, on-air contributor for 670 The Score.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
When either they drafted them or guys that they believe in that were already here. That's guys like Justin Fields.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
The 2023 Bears are made for the offseason. They are a dream in terms of content, in terms of debates, in terms of talking points.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some Bears with Dan Wiederer. You can find him on Twitter at Dan Wiederer. He is the Bears reporter and enterprise writer for the Tribune, co-host of Take the North, the podcast with David Haw. He's with us on the Score Hotline that's brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Dan? How are you?
Dan Wiederer on Twitterer, talking about Scott Fitterer at times. So there we've got go. It all covered.
Scott Fitterer having that interesting relationship, it seems, with Ryan Poles, and he is not afraid to tell people about it.
Yeah, no, obviously that was some of the big revelation of this week, and getting a little bit more of a behind-the-curtain look on how that trade came together. And now it's all about figuring out what that trade will mean for the Bears short-term and long-term.
I've been trying to figure out whether or not the Bears miss some opportunities in free agency, or if they're being very shrewd with how they spend that abundance of money that they have. Where do you fall on that continuum?
Yeah, I think probably both, Lawrence, to be honest with you, because I think going into it, they would have liked to have had a little bit more success in the offensive tackle market. Obviously, they made a push at McGlinchey and fell a little short there. I think they would have liked to have bolstered their defensive line depth just a little bit more than they did, and they didn't get it done. Now, look, like Ryan has been very clear, and I've said this kind of to my colleagues, that I have to make sure that every day I kind of look in the mirror and say, if you've told people for a long time that you were never going to fix everything in free agency, when they don't fix everything in free agency, you can't come down on them hard and condemn their moves and be critical of them. I do think you can kind of put a magnifying glass over those positions of need and say, wow, there's still more here needed than maybe we thought they were going to need going into the draft. And they're just going to have to adjust and understand that this was always going to be a puzzle that marries free agency in the draft. But I think it's a combination of being patient and disciplined, but also having some opportunities that passed and that you didn't get done.
That's where I sit with this, Dan. I think we all know that it's not going to be a rebuild that lasts a year. Like, we've all resigned right. ourselves to that fact. However, I think they were asking for some unicorns when it came to understanding the contracts that were given to positions of need, both offensively and defensively, and I'm talking about the respective lines. You can't get everything you wanted, and teams were showing you that.
No, I mean, you can't get everything you wanted, but in a year where you did have maximum flexibility, right? We touted it for months that there was going to be maximum flexibility there. There is an opportunity to push your boundaries a little bit. And I don't think they did that maybe as much as they could have. They were not, you know, miles off in the McGlinchey negotiations based on some of the reporting we've done. I think there were some similarities in some of the defensive tackle discussions. And so it is what it is. And now you kind of fast forward your brain if you're in Ryan Poles' chair and you understand that, you know, you've got 10 picks in your back pocket now. You have a chance to multiply those into maybe 11 or 12 for next month's draft. And hopefully within that double digit player class, you find three or four guys that can help you long term.
Yeah. And you have to now, because that's what I was gleaning from your reporting, as well as Brad Biggs on the Tribune, is that we're talking about a couple million per year off. And with the amount of money they have open under the cap, it was doable.
Yeah, right. It wasn't going to hinder you this year or beyond. But look, Ryan has talked regularly. There's two things to this, Layla. It's like, number one, he's talked about understanding your value parameters and being flexible with them to a point. And when it exceeds that point, just being very comfortable pushing away from the table. The other thing that I think is interesting, and this will take a couple years to kind of monitor, is Ryan has been somewhat publicly, but certainly privately acknowledging that this is still new for him, that he's 37. He's only in his second offseason as Bears general manager. Some of this negotiation back and forth is not something that he's got a ton of experience and depth in. And so there are going to be growing pains and there are going to be a learning curve to that. And now he's just got to take the lessons he learns each year and apply them to the next year. And hopefully it helps them become more successful across the board.
Even if he does some of these fill-in contracts, some of these temporary contracts or one-year deals, prove-it deals, the quality of player may be better, it seems. You know, someone like Andrew Billings, in fact, at a one-year deal, $3.5 million, he's better than like Mike Pennell, right?
I don't know. See, like this was the exercise that I was trying to put myself through recently, because new always feels better.
Right.
Right. But then you go through the list of, you know, they've brought in 10 guys, right. And nine signings, including DJ Moore is the 10th. If you go through and you just kind of tail down each one of those guys and who they replaced, you know, I've got Angelo Blackson as the guy that Andrew Billings is replacing. Okay. You've got Al-Quadin Muhammad is the guy that DeMarcus Walker is replacing. This is defensively. Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards replaced the combination of Roquan Smith and Anthony Morrow, in effect. And so are you better there? Probably. Are you a lot better there? I don't know that you can go that far. And you can apply that same exercise to all the guys they brought in on offense and try to kind of sort through, like, who went out the door that allowed so-and-so to come in? And do you feel like you are that much closer to winning championships, you know, plural, up the road because you brought those guys in? Ryan always talks about the, you know, uses that phrase, move the needle. How many of these guys really move the needle towards contending? And probably it's DJ Moore, to some extent, Tremaine Edmonds, and then you're kind of just shrugging until you see some things.
Nate Davis, probably, right? I mean, Nate Davis is a legitimate starting guard.
Right, he will start for you, right? And so if Cody bumps inside, like they're saying, that's the initial vision, then you're replacing Sam Mustafa or Lucas Patrick with Nate Davis. That's an upgrade, no question, right? So it'll move your needle, but does it like majorly move it? Probably not. And now you've just got to solidify things around there in that offensive line, and hopefully you have obviously a lot more opportunity to do so here in the next month.
What do you think the value is of the Bears hosting Jalen Carter?
Oh, man. I mean, like, you want to be in a room with a guy to put him through every bit of questioning that you have. You know, if you're going to make an investment like that in a guy that has a lot of question marks, even before, you know, some of the legal stuff came up in late February, early March, you wanted to take every second you have in his presence to feel him out, to feel how genuine he is, to feel how motivated he is, to understand what some of his thinking was during various, you know, missteps or tribulations in his recent life. You've got an opportunity to really, really dig in and then just have a gut feeling. You know, a lot of this on draft weekend comes down to, what's your gut telling you and how much of a risk is this? And that, you know, there's going to be a point here potentially at the end of April where you're staring at both offensive tackles, Skoronski and Paris Johnson, and Jalen Carter potentially still on the board. And whatever decision you make there is probably going to tell you a lot about Ryan's risk tolerance and risk aversion and just kind of where he is in this specific case study.
Well, I think also just the overall, I think, reception toward Carter and trying to figure that out too, as a beat reporter, how have you seen that either change or just get to the point where it's at right now relative to even a couple weeks ago or just even his pro day?
Well, right. Like, in the pro day was another bump in the road, obviously. And so you're sorting through a lot here. And a lot of it is trying to read into a guy's mental wiring. A lot of it is trying to make projections on what you think is correctable and what can be, improved in the right environment. And what is just something that you're going to have to live with if you decide to roll those dice. And so this is why the draft is such an inexact science, and why one move can set you in one direction or another, and you won't know for a year or two, maybe 3 years down the road, which direction you went down. But it's a fascinating thing that's going to require a lot of homework. Again, you know, both on your campus and just doing some more digging. You know, I did take note that John Tarpey, the director of security, went down to the pro day at Georgia, and that wasn't just to be Ryan Poles' bodyguard. You know, that was to go do some research and to talk to people in the Georgia program and elsewhere. And so that's the type of in-depth homework that's required in a situation like this.
I was just going to ask you. And by the way, you can check out Dan Wiederer on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. That was going to be my next question. Do teams still outsource some of that stuff with private investigator services?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know what the Bears in under this specific regime do, but I mean, there's a lot of outside help and then obviously inside help that you go lean on to help you get to as informed of a conclusion as you can possibly make. We all know still that, you know, the draft is still going to be a guessing game until someone figures out an exact formula for it. But you want to have as much information and preparation as possible to help you make those decisions to the best of your ability.
Dan, as we were talking about earlier about, you know, Poles being second year on the job, only being 37 years old, mm-hmm. How are you handling him being so open about things? And I asked Florio about this, and I'll ask you, you're closer to it. He's putting a lot of other people's business out there too. It's one thing to talk about like what the Bears are doing. It's another thing to, well, this is what the Colts were doing and this is what the Texans were doing. How do you think that plays?
Well, so I hear you on that latter point, but I went back through both the Peter King piece and then the Albert Breer piece. And I was trying to figure out if there's anything within either of those that if I was in one of those other buildings that I'd take exception to. And I don't know that there was. I mean, there was obviously some detail, you know, and some things from private conversation and negotiation that got out there. But I don't know that any of it was highly sensitive, you know, that would have been in the highly classified category. And so you just keep tabs on it. You know, I mean, obviously, selfishly, from my standpoint, you do kind of both a fist pump that you now have a general manager who is willing to be more open and transparent and detailed. And then you also just kind of cross your fingers and hold your breath and say, like, you know, I hope this is a equal opportunity here, right? And it's not just going to Peter King and Albert Breer and the national guys every Monday with the detail, and that hopefully some of us that are on the beat regularly get a chance to get some trips to the plate as well.
Why do you think that hasn't really happened yet?
Which part?
The part where, you know, it isn't you or Bigsy or Potsy that's getting some of these conversations with him.
I mean, it's still an orientation process. I mean, I sat down with Ryan for 45 minutes last March in Florida at the owners meetings and had a really good session and wrote a ton off of that session. And so it's, you know, it kind of goes around, you know, the line goes around, but we have to keep fingers on the pulse. You know, you get conditioned to things being one way, and we know how they were under Ryan Pace in terms of the ability to access him, you know? And so then, when things change, you kind of have to recalibrate your entire operation and say, okay, well, he's shown that the door is open, you know, so it's okay to go ring that doorbell a little bit more than we might have in the past, because, you know, somebody's going to answer every once in a while. And so that's part of the game too, where you've got to make sure that you're putting yourself in position to do those things. And that's kind of, you know, selfishly, that's something that you've got to take advantage of. You know, next week is another good opportunity out in Arizona to kind of feel those things out and have some casual conversations on how they're running things nowadays with a new regime.
Where do you sit regarding left tackle?
I mean, they need two dependable tackles if you're going to take Justin to where he wants to go. If you want Braxton Jones to be that guy, then, you know, you better go draft a right tackle. They need help. I mean, you know, David Haugh and I have been trying to classify this as the no excuses tour in 2023. And it's, yeah, you know, there's going to be 17 dates on that schedule for the no excuses tour. And what you want to do, if you're in Ryan's role, to give Justin the fairest possible way to show you who he is as a quarterback now and in the future, it's to remove the excuses. And one of those is making sure that he feels very comfortable behind whatever offensive line you assemble for him.
What's been your immediate kind of thought on the type of guy and receiver DJ Moore can be?
Yeah. I had a good conversation last week with someone who has watched DJ closely, and they gave me three S words. I'm trying to find my piece of paper so I don't miss one of them, but it was separation, strength, and steadiness. And I think the last one is the one that I took note of the most, because just kind of from a mental and emotional standpoint, the dude seems pretty resilient. He seems pretty steady, right? Obviously. And he's produced with a bunch of different quarterbacks and a bunch of different variations of what you're trying to do offensively when you have Christian McCaffrey, when you don't have Christian McCaffrey, and he's just continued to be a guy that you can lean on and rely on. And that makes everyone in a building feel better. Like, steadiness during the course of an 18-week, four-month grind is something that is undervalued in this league, but certainly appreciated when it's there. And I think that part of things is going to be really, really valuable for the Bears and certainly for Justin Fields.
Is Tonyan a U tight end, or can he play both the Y and the U?
I think both, Dan. This is one of those things where the one person who's going to know that best is Luke, and Luke obviously has familiarity with him. And so it's going to be really interesting. One of the reasons I'm eager to get to Arizona next week is it'll be the first time we get a chance to talk to Matt Eberflus about all the additions they've made to the roster. And it's kind of imperative that he expresses a vision, you know, for things just like that. Exactly. What did you guys see and identify, and how do you see him slotting into what you're trying to build here? Like, I think Robert Tonyan is certainly one of those guys that he's probably replacing Ryan Griffin, right? In your outgoing incoming list there. And I think that's an upgrade for sure. Now, what I want to see is can Robert Tonyan match some of the production he had a couple years ago with a four-time MVP as his quarterback in an offense that's obviously far less established. And that's going to be kind of the next box for him to check, particularly as he comes back from an injury that slowed him down in the early parts of 2022. And I think he said really it wasn't until December where he felt like himself again.
You're excited to get to the Biltmore and the buffet. That's why you're excited.
I mean, sunshine and temperatures in the 70s. Like, there's a lot of reasons I'm excited to get down there, but it's also going to be a very information packed week because presumably we'll also hear from Kevin Warren down there, and that'll be the first time since his intro in January. So you'll have Kevin and Ryan and Flus and George. You know, you we're going to have a full buffet, Lawrence, of content coming out of the Bears camp, and it's going to be really interesting to learn what they have to say.
When is Warren officially on the job?
We have no answer on that yet.
I thought it was supposed to be in April.
I thought it was April 1st or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is when the calendar flips, but he's obviously going to be down there. There's a lot of important league business that he should be privy to. And then it'll be very interesting just to see if he is available, which we're expecting him to be. And if so, kind of what he can do to update us and how much he's been able to do as he's made this kind of long transition, a longer transition than most.
That's the first time when I was a young reporter where I understood the wealth. That was the first time, like, going to the Biltmore in Phoenix and being like, wait, this is where we're going to do this whole thing where we talk to coaches and front office people. Like, this is opulent. Like, this is just, it's amazing. And that place is amazing. It's a Frank Lloyd Wright designed hotel. Like, it's incredible. There is a lot of rich people down there.
There are. So there's two things I always tell people about the league meetings. Number one, it always makes me laugh when you see all these people, you know, owners and general managers and rich coaches getting all the free swag.
Yes.
That all the partners have. And you're like, oh yeah, you guys needed all that stuff, right? You know,
it's like the Oscar nominees with their gift bags.
And, yep. I mean, they're literally checking things at the front desk to have shipped back to where they're from because they don't want to deal with it because there's so much swag, and you just kind of laugh at that. And then obviously there's a reception that we're able to go to every on Monday night every year of the league meetings. And it's like the best wedding you've ever been to on steroids, you know? And Rich Campbell and I made this joke annually just so we could beat it in the ground. And we would just look around at the ice sculptures and the best band you've ever heard playing and the sushi bar that's over there. And you go, man, how does the NFL afford something like this?
Exactly.
It's also, yeah, it's just like the Nike situation. Hey, we know you're surrounded by Nike, but here's some more Nike.
Yep.
And then I'd wear it. Yeah, 100%.
Damn right. Dan, thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it. Have fun down in the desert.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll talk to you guys when I get back.
That is Dan Wederer. He covers the Bears for us and the Tribune as well.
I'm not sold on left tackle. I'm just not.
No one is, except for Ryan Poles.
People are acting like they are, and it's bothering me.
Yeah, no one except for Ryan Poles.
When we were talking to Steve Stone, I mentioned that there were a couple of very, very slight changes that had been made to MLB's new rules. There's one aspect of it that is going to take a little known and unheralded baseball job and throw it under new and perhaps unwanted scrutiny.
Oh, I like that. Let's do that next. It's Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
And quickly, it's 0-2. As we mentioned, we've got the Washington Nationals tomorrow. We'll see Jack Flaherty pitch again. Jack's had a nice spring. As Contreras was rung up on a pitch clock violation.
Hey, Chip Carey on Bally Sports. Wilson Contreras got out and started adjusting the old batting gloves, and you got to be attentive to the pitcher and in the box, young man. So he got rung up. And I don't think that's going to be one of the areas where there's going to be a little bit of leeway here. So Rob Manfred did say today, we're prepared to make adjustments based on input, but we want to give it a chance to see how it plays out exactly over a period of adjustment and some regular season games before we make any significant alterations. Here's where they did indeed address some things. And this is according to Jeff Passan. On malfunctions of PitchCom, players must immediately inform umpires who can grant time and stop the ticking clock. That makes sense. We can't communicate, you do this sort of thing that like the quarterback does when he looks at the sideline. I can't hear what the play is. What the hell are we doing? I need someone else to tell me how to play football.
You tell Martz I said bleep you!
That's right. On brushback pitches and big swings, which either knock equipment out of place.
Big swings.
His name is Swing Biggs.
I believe Biggsy was like a pitcher of some renown when he was in high school.
Well, on those swings, which
Brad Biggs talks pitching with you.
Either knock equipment out of place or land a player splayed out on the ground, umpires will delay the start of the clock. And if the clock operator starts it early, have the ability to wave off the timer. In situations where pitchers find themselves away from the mound, whether to cover first or backup throws to home or third and foul territory, the 30-second between batters clock will be delayed. It will restart when the pitcher making a play at first is back on the infield grass and one backing plays up is in fair territory. Leniency for catchers who end an inning on base or at bat.
Yeah, because you have to go get your stuff.
This is like IHSA rules.
You got to go put your gear on. Automatic and it takes some time.
Pinch run. Umpires could turn off the 2-minute 30-second between innings clock at the 30-second mark if the catcher has made a reasonable effort to abide by the timer. If it reaches that point, the catcher will be allowed to receive one warm-up pitch from the pitcher and make a throw to second to ensure he, too, has warmed up his arm.
That's reasonable.
Okay, balls in, down two.
How about this? How about Rob Manfred being reasonable?
Placing the onus on hitters to restart the clock if they take a timeout. Hitters may call time once in an at-bat, and previously the clock was starting from 15 or 20 when they stepped in and were alert, leading to pitchers potentially holding the ball longer. Under the new guidelines, a player, regardless of where he's standing, must indicate to the umpire that he is ready to resume play, at which point the umpire will tell the operator to wind the clock. Now, here's what I think is fascinating. New standards will be enforced for bat boys and bat girls.
What?
Bats, yep. People?
And I think it's probably best if we simply call them bat persons at this point, because there may be someone doing that job who is non-binary or gender fluid, whose ability to quickly retrieve equipment will help efforts to speed up the game. The league will evaluate the performances of bat persons.
Oh.
And could ask teams to replace them if their performance is considered substandard.
Oh, no.
This is kind of messed up.
We're going to need a montage. Not the honorary ones where, you know, your parents paid money at Temple to get you. I mean.
That all works. I mean,
yeah. Sure. How do you think we get that stuff?
I don't know.
Yes.
We.
To the auction. Yeah.
We.
Sure. They put it up for auction and they bid on it. And then
Greg. What's your name, son? Oh, this Danny like, Bernstein.
This sounds damn like, right. How do you think I was up there?
I would revoke that first, actually.
Come on. Yeah. Grandma and Grandpa, Nana and Papa, they're at the old charity auction for whatever it may be. And next thing you know. Timmy Silverstein is sitting there next to the skipper during warm-up.
This is Danny Bernstein, Jr.
Yeah, my parents got one for Jason.
Oh, yeah. What about, is it Fabian? Fabian will be okay, right?
JT Snow.
That's a Cubs ball boy. Fabian should be all right.
So most of them are professionals. That's what they do. But they gotta get in shape. Like, there's going to be a training montage now.
You're very excited about this.
Yes.
It's the Rocky IV training montage.
They're pulling a Drago! Sled. Pulling a sled in the snow.
There's an homage to that in Creed 3, by the way.
Yeah, as a listener to the show, there's been a lot of Rocky references. Is it because you watched Creed 3?
Yeah.
The connection?
I went and saw Creed 3 on Saturday.
I heard.
And I
listened. But there's been so many Rocky discussions outside of that.
I will say that... Isn't it no easy way out? There's no shortcut home.
There's no shortcut home.
I mean, just watch Rocky.
And you're pulling
we don't have that
an
one in here, though.
Alcoholic on a sled. And he's sitting
and
there.
And he's totally
drinking.
Racist.
And the Russian's taking steroids. And it's dripping out of the syringe. And he's on a treadmill, but you're on a real mountain and you've got a beard. And you're wearing a leather jacket and running from the KGB.
And then there's a fire and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. What ailment does Dan have? Is it trench foot? Did he get another debilitating vaccination that we don't know about that's briefly debilitating but will help you later? I don't want to hear about it. It just will. Shut up.
You're hanging from the hayloft by your knees and you're doing sit-ups and Tony Burton punches you in the abs.
Did Dan have fried chicken for breakfast? Perhaps was it caffeine?
That sounds excellent.
trench foot. My vote is trench foot.
The idea behind Creed 3 is that if you are in a relationship, you might not want to take your significant other to see Creed 3 because Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors look so good that it might mess you up. That your significant other might be looking at you.
Do you have something you need to tell?
No.
Maybe wife is going to be like, I want one of those.
Right. Or husband. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they're good looking men.
Right? Like, hey, they did a really funny joke on when he hosted Saturday Night Live with Punky Johnson, who is openly gay. And she was like, she was on stage with him and she's like, you know, now that you're here, I'm rethinking some things. Like, they were wearing the same suit. And okay. So the whole thing was like everyone was coming up to Michael B. Jordan, like trying to be in front of him and catch his attention. He's like, "Aren't you gay?" And she's like, "Yeah, but you know, maybe I'm not."
That was the old joke in the day. Was never go on a date to a Bond movie for those reasons, because you have whoever the dashing James Bond may be, and then the parade of various international models who can barely act but are there as Bond girls.
You mean they put hot people on screen to make people watch them?
I mean, both guys look great. Like that. I saw someone trying to do Jonathan Majors' workout. And it's impossible. Like, you can't start with that. Like, you've got to build up to that thing that he was doing specifically for that movie, where you're going to be shown with your shirt off and all sorts of stuff. It's wild.
You know what movie is like that, though? Maverick. Everybody looks amazing.
Well, they found a very good-looking cast, and obviously Jay Ellis has become a matinee idol over the last few years because of the show Insecure. So seeing him out there, you go, oh, all right.
But I mean, because Jennifer Connelly is like, oh my God. And
algorithm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's ballpark for you, right?
Yeah. 50.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That track.
And I actually thought at the Oscars that it was a little too much. Like, I mean, just if she had dressed what she was wearing in Maverick at the Oscars, that's all you need is the white sweater and the jeans and not everything else. But I digress. The jawlines in Maverick, like everybody, you could just like cut a piece of paper on those jawlines. It's not fair. Stupid, handsome Hollywood people.
That's why they had to be on the beach playing combat football.
Yeah, with two different footballs. Both teams are on offense and defense at the same time.
Wait, dogfight football, right?
Dogfight football.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You
didn't see Maverick?
I didn't see Maverick.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's more fun when people just describe the new version
of the volleyball scene.
Oh.
The evolution of the famous the homosexual volleyball scene is
Kenny
now
homoerotic. I wouldn't call it homosexual.
Okay.
Because nothing homosexual happened.
It's implied.
The sexy volleyball scene.
It's homoerotic.
Yes. And now instead, everybody's out there. And they're playing like these beach football with these Nerf footballs, but it's apparently both teams are on offense and defense at the same time.
And one of the actors got hurt during the filming of that.
Because they played a game that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Who is the NFL?
Sports and movies is a whole segment that is...
Robert
Edwards? I get a little get off my lawn about it all sometimes.
Do you remember Patriots running back Robert Edwards, Pro Bowl weekend beach football...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he took it very seriously.
Yeah, but like dislocation, like a very serious career-changing injury, right? I think. I think it was Robert Edwards who suffered that. But so I didn't know that one of the actors got hurt.
Hangman.
Glenn Powell got hurt?
According to IndieWire, the director told Joseph Kosinski, mm-hmm. the director of the movie, told IndieWire that during that filming of that scene, Glenn Powell, who portrayed the cocky young pilot Hangman, reportedly gave it everything he had, resulting in an injury during the first take.
I thought that he hurt himself playing Hangman. And I was like, that is drawn on paper. Why would that happen?
That was his call sign.
Another brutal Hangman injury.
I'm like, what? Did something happen while you were broken?
The pencil slipped and went into his hand. Ow! Is there an O? No!
But that's his cool pilot name.
Was his call sign.
Was Robert Edwards, did he tear up a knee?
I thought it was like one of those weird ankle dislocations or something.
I thought it was a knee. He had a knee. Anyway, we do need to take a break. And when we come back,
Are we sure we can do this?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. I mean, ask for forgiveness.
Does it help that Mitch is not here today?
Yeah, he's not listening. He's out there with all the famous types in sports radio media. The huge show and the huge guests.
He's huge. Jumped by a group of random toughs.
Why do you have to keep saying huge all the time?
It is huge.
That seems interesting.
A huge audience.
I'm not overcompensating for anything.
Although, wasn't really. Never mind. So anyway, he's not listening because he's he's there listening to all these people that are telling him about where sports radio is going. And then he looks up and he's like, weren't you an intern for me? And that guy goes, yes, but now I run Tampa.
Is that like all those people who listen to the show and provide us good ratings, but then also tell us sports radio is dying?
Yeah.
But then our ratings are high, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's those folks.
Dude.
Let's start calling this the Huge Show.
No.
I mean, why not?
No.
You got the Huge Show. With the-
so big. It's the biggest thing. It's big.
It's so
just
huge.
Big.
Did I mention it, that it's huge?
No, no. I'm filling in for you for the next 2 days, and you really had to start this now?
Well, you just kind of have to say it's the Huge Show with a huge listening population and huge fans, and then you throw in a daddy, and then everything works out.
No,
no,
no.
Well, you better get ready for the next segment then, because it's way worse than what I just said.
It is.
The next segment is a piece of tape. From a morning show in Philly on St. Patrick's Day that you're not going to believe. It's even better than I thought it was going to be. It's so good. It's next on The Score.
Layla, go ahead. Call me daddy.
You listen to Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Daddy needs a sleep.
That's just wrong. Is there something you two want to tell me?
What?
Because I'm not invited to this, and I'm kind of mad. But here I am with the read.
Well,
BetMGM and 670 The Score teaming up to celebrate opening day at Sluggers. Really? Why am I just now hearing about this?
Because Jed didn't call you.
It's on
say, hey, I'm warm, and you guys are cold.
He's waving to us from his office. How's it going out there? In the drizzle is 40 degrees out there, idiots.
I appreciate that he gets our sense of humors.
Jerk.
Senses of humors. Anyway, Sluggers is at 3545 Clark Street in Wrigleyville, and I love it. I enjoy that place.
You want to take some swings while we're out there?
You should.
I got my bats in the car.
I did the last time I was there in a skirt and everything.
It'll probably be my first time like hitting a ball since softball season ended.
I still hit to right field.
I haven't done it in a while.
16-inch, though. Like, go in there
and take some
slow pitch.
No, we got to go to the fastest.
All right.
Why?
I'll pack a baseball bat, too.
Oof. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. This is on the 30th of March. That's Thursday. It's opening day, obviously, for
a
pregame party.
That's why you weren't invited.
Why?
Because you're working.
I am, but not at that time.
All right,
we'll be broadcasting. You'll be broadcasting live from 10 to 12:45. If I'm there that early, I will. There's a good chance I go to the game for work. And then the Cubs pregame show is with Zach at 1:20. And this is at Sluggers. I'm jealous of you guys. Definitely stop by to say hello, grab them some swag, and see how you can take your game to the next level this baseball season with the king of sportsbooks. Well, thanks for telling me. I had to find out about this from my friends at BetMGM. Unbelievable. Yeah,
so,
the silence out of you two, the guilty silence.
Do you know any of the parties involved in this sound that we're about to play?
I know of one of them, and because I have friends who are friends with her, and she's cool, and this kind of confirms it.
All right, how do we set this up? This is...
You don't have to set it up.
St. Patrick's Day.
She's the recipient of the wrath.
I will just say this. It's St. Patrick's Day morning, and there is...
It's ABC6 in Philly.
And there is one reporter who they're apparently making fun of her because she's got two remotes.
She's got two phones.
Remotes like for the chroma key and for whatever you...
Because now,
TV people.
And probably for prompter. Because that's happening
a lot these days.
You
got to do your own prompter?
There are places here in Chicago where you have to run your own prompter
these days,
Dan.
Are you serious?
Yes. And people are doing it like they have it underneath the desk and they're doing it with their feet.
Foot pedal.
Man.
Or some are just robots.
It's getting dark.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, your tweet about ESPN yesterday was...
Wow. So she had two remotes and they're making fun of her as she is tossing to weather, I believe.
Thursday, partly sunny skies and 57. And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beer. Guys, she means beer. Don't put me on YouTube. My God.
The off-camera laughter... Like the people not you hear there's all kinds of like hooting and hollering going on between the camera operators, producers, all the production assistants. Like people are losing it on that set.
Run
it
again.
Do it again
on YouTube. My God.
Run it again.
The whole thing.
Thursday, partly sunny skies and 57. And to another woman who likes to be double fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beer. She means beer. Guys, she means beer. Don't put me on YouTube. My God.
It's the in another way that you'd have been fine yep. had you not added in another way.
Oh, no. The to be in past tense was also not great, buddy. Right? Not great.
And her, the fact that she went hard on the response to,
don't
put me on YouTube. And she had to own the fact that she would have beer in both hands, like Edward Fortyhands.
I just got a text from Marshall.
Marshall Harris?
He worked with her. He's a colleague.
Oh, that's right.
So he's like, my girl Jess, I was just talking to her about this. She was dying. Jess Boynton. She handled that so well. She's cool.
Yeah, she went right after. She's like, no, she means beer. I'll have a beer each hand.
Not the other thing.
The Brett Kavanaugh move right
or
there.
Or the other thing.
Right. She's a pro and she's cool. And I'm not surprised at all that she handled it that well. But the toss is just...
Boy,
that is not how you say that.
Don't put me on YouTube.
Not that part. The toss.
I wonder.
Initial part.
Hey, maybe we could marry that with Bulls basketball on the score.
Thursday, partly sunny skies and 57. And to another woman who likes to be double fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beers.
That is not
in
how
the
you,
city of brotherly love.
That's not how you say that.
My God.
It's too different.
Whoever says she sounds like me, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
You are in for a treat between now and 6 o'clock.
I mean, are they even gonna? Is the show gonna?
Oh yeah, this is the show where they don't try.
I'm almost certain I saw them record a segment.
They're not. Like,
welcome to sports segment.
We have no.
So, how about that sporting event?
How about those sports?
How about
go
that?
Local why don't team we? Why don't we? College.
Why don't we talk about college football futures? Okay, let's do that. Well, what do you think is going to happen for Alabama this year?
They're probably going to be good.
It says here that it's -10.5 wins is the over/under. Let's talk about that and go through the entire SEC. Partner?
I'd rather talk about sports team and their performance during game.
How about this?
I thought Jalen was excellent.
What if we sat here and gave you our Mount Rushmore of basketball? How about we do that? And we won't take any calls. It'll just be us talking about those things.
I think person should be on that Mount Rushmore. And here's why. That person was good at that sport that they played.
And now here's a thought from producer. He likes cooking and is a sociopath.
Take that, ChatGPT. We just did your show.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Can you blame them, though? I would totally be that way.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore of running backs? Well, partner, I'm glad that you asked that question.
I am going this to is... disagree with you because that's what sports talk does.
That's
Whoa.
Right. This is a totally interactive segment.
I am
Here's the
to...
phone number, 312-644-6767.
How about Mount Rushmore?
Mush Mountmore. Careful.
Sure.
That is
you're probably getting a busy signal right now, but that is okay. It is 1:57 right now.
Hey, host, I have this take on this topic. You are supposed to disagree with me now.
How about we preview the upcoming Bulls game? That's far enough away that it doesn't seem like we're...
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Just go to commercial.
My God.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.